Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Yutet Amud Aleph, four lines down. Gemara here is discussing the statement of Rava, which undermined the premise of our whole Gemara from the daf before, which is, Rava comes along and says, Lo Rabbi Yossi savar lo k'Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Akiva. Lo Rabbi Akiva savar k'Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi Akiva does not hold like Rabbi Yossi. Our understanding of Rabbi Yossi's position as to why he thought that Mashkim are mitamei midoraita ohlim and not kelim was based on his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva's position with regards to Yitma Yitameh. Rabbi Akiva, by Kli Cheres, teaches us, Chol Kli Cheres, Asher Yipo Mehem El Tocho, Kol Asher V'Tocho Yitma, Poto Tishboru. That when you have the word Yitma being used, the word Yitma means not only Yitma or Tameh, that it's Mekabel Tuma, but Yitameh, you can read it, that it conveys Tuma as well. From that, Rabbi Akiva concluded that even within Chulin, Asheni Oseh Shlishi. That's Rabbi Akiva's Shita. It's a unique Shita. Everybody else thinks Chulin ends at a Sheni Lituma. Rabbi Akiva believes that it goes even to a Shlishi Lituma. From that, we tried to establish that Rabbi Yossi's position in Mashkim was based on that, because the subsequent Psukim in Vayikra Yud Aleph use the term Yitma twice. They use it by Mikol Ochel Asher Yachel and Mikol Mashkeh Asher Yishateh. So by liquids and by Ochel, it uses the term Yitma. And from that, we would say that Yitma means Litamei Acherim. So we established from there that liquids will also be Mitamei Acherim. So that was the flow of the Gemara until that point. Then, all of a sudden, we have Rava interject and say, Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi. So that undermined the whole work that we did over that daf, because now Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold like Rabbi Akiva. Gemara's conclusion over there is that, yes, Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Yossi made a statement within the position of Rabbi Akiva. So he says, according to the way Rabbi Akiva learns Yitma in the other case, if he learned that over here as well, we would extrapolate from that this din. And so Rabbi Yossi is saying something that is not his own position, but rather the position of his Rebbe Rabbi Akiva, extrapolating that which he heard from his Rebbe Rabbi Akiva, but not his personal view. So yesterday, at the end of yesterday's daf, we concluded with the fact that I can prove to you that Rabbi Yossi does not hold like Rabbi Akiva. And that is because Rabbi Yossi from Mechuser Kippurim learns out that you can create the Revi LeKodesh. And we said if he held like his Rebbe Rabbi Akiva, then he should end up with a Chamishi LeKodesh. That was the end of yesterday's daf. Today's daf we begin on the fourth line down. Ela Rabbi Akiva lo savak Rabbi Yossi minalan. Where do we know that Rabbi Akiva does not hold like Rabbi Yossi? Amar lei, Dolo lishtamet tano velitne revi b'truma v'chamishi b'kodesh. The reason I know that Rabbi Akiva does not hold like Rabbi Yossi is because we find nowhere in Shas, Mishnayot, that there's ever a Tano that mentions a concept called a fourth level of Tuma by Truma and a fifth level of Tuma by Kodesh. We never find such levels of Tuma, which would have been possible if Rabbi Akiva held like Rabbi Yossi. And if we found those in the Mishnayot, the name of Rabbi Akiva, we'd say that's the position of Rabbi Akiva, and we would have understood it. But the fact that nowhere in Shas do we find such a Mishnah, that shows us that Rabbi Akiva obviously does not hold like his Talmud, Rabbi Yossi. Now, why is that? Or what is going on here? Rabbi Yossi uses two Kal V'chomers to generate the levels of Tuma. The first position we have is that we know that you can get to a Sheni within Chulin. That we already have min HaTorah. That we know from the Torah. That's the end of the line in terms of Tuma by Chulin. How do we get from Chulin, a Sheni Lituma, to a Shlishi Lituma Bitruma? How do we know that? If Chulin ends at 2, how do you know that there's a third level by Truma? So the Gemara in Sota, in the Mishnah, actually brings a Kal V'chomer. It's a Kal V'chomer mitvul yom. A tvul yom is someone who is Tamei. It could be Tamei for 7 days. It could be Tamei for 1 day. Then on the final day of their Tuma, they go to the mikveh. After they go to the mikveh, they're what's called a tvul yom. They've gone to the mikveh and they're awaiting the sunset on that day. Once they've gone to the mikveh on their final day of Tuma, they've already reduced the level of their Tuma. When the sun sets, they reduce it even more. They might be completely tahor. If they have to bring a korban, they still have some residual Tuma. This is what we discussed yesterday about these different levels. A tvul yom, someone who went to the mikveh on that final day of Tuma, after he's gone to the mikveh and waiting for sunset, he can touch chulin, he won't affect it. He can touch maaser, he won't affect it. He may not come into contact or eat truma, may not come into contact and eat kodesh. That is the din of a tvul yom. Harav shemesh, the sun sets on that day. After that, he's tahor, he can eat truma, and of course, he can come into contact with chulim and maser like he was before by tvul yom, but in addition to that, he can also come into contact with truma. If he does not require korban, he also can come into contact with kodoshim and enter the mikdash. If he requires a korban, then he's a mechuser kipurim, which we discussed yesterday. And that means until he brings his korban, he will not be permitted to enter into the mikdash or eat kodoshim. So those are the different levels of a person in the process of becoming tohor. Tvul yom, that's after he goes to the mikveh. Herev shemesh, after the sun sets on him. Mechuser kipurim is until he brings his korban. Those are the three different levels of tahara that a person goes through. So for as far as tvul yom is concerned, a tvul yom is considered to be a sheni l'tumah. It's a second level of tumah. That sheni l'tumah, we know the din is, number one, he can eat chulin and he can eat maser. What he can't do is come into contact with truma. Because if he comes into contact with truma, then he'll cause a problem for the truma. So the Kal Vachomer works like this. If a tvul yom is problematic with truma, yet he's fine with chulin, a sheni l'tumah, which is problematic in chulin, certainly it should be problematic for truma. And that's how we get to a shlishi in truma. From that Kal Vachomer from a tvul yom. Tvul yom, it's problematic for truma, but he's not problematic for chulin. A sheni in general, which is posel by chulin, so then certainly it should cause a problem for truma, and it should make a shlishi in truma. That's the Kal Vachomer. The problem with the Kal Vachomer is obvious, which is dayo, lavo, minadin liot kenidon. That we have that principle of dayo. You cannot learn in a Kal Vachomer the object which you're learning. You can't say that the limud is better than the source. The source says sheni is the end of chulin, and sheni is problematic for the truma, but that's it. So how can you now go to truma and extend it to shlishi? So this has to do with what we mentioned yesterday. Rashi brings it. Gemara and Sotah mentions it as well, which is that we do not invoke the principle of dayo when it undermines the Kal Vachomer. In this case, if you do not say the Kal Vachomer and ignore dayo, there is no Kal Vachomer. Because if you say dayo, then all you're saying is a sheni is problematic for truma and shlishi. That's the same thing you had before. You haven't gotten anywhere with the Kal Vachomer. So because dayo would ruin the Kal Vachomer, we ignore dayo in that case. So because of that, now I know about this din of shlishi bitruma. Gemara and Sotah actually says about that Kal Vachomer, ati dor acharon. Later generations are going to come and undermine this Kal Vachomer. The reason they can undermine the Kal Vachomer is because by a tvul yom, the source of a tvul yom can be something like an ava tuma. Yes, now he is in a lower state of tuma, but the origins of that tuma were something that might could have been much higher, could have been an ava tuma. Yet you're trying to make a Kal Vachomer to a sheni l'tuma, whose origins are from a rishon l'tuma. And therefore, there is a pircha, there is a way to undermine that Kal Vachomer. Based on that, the Mishnah Sota says that future generations might actually eliminate a shlishi l'tuma when it comes to truma. That's the din shlishi b'truma. Shlishi by kodoshim, we learned min haTorah. That's what we had in yesterday's daf. Because of basar basar that comes into contact, basar kodesh that comes into touch with any tumah can mean anything from an ava tumah down to a sheni the tumah, because they're all considered to be tamei, lo yachel, you can't eat it. So we know that there's a shlishi the tumah in kodoshim. How do we know there's a revi'i the tumah in kodoshim? That comes from the Kal Vachomer of Mechuser Kipurim. That was what we learned yesterday by Rabbi Yossi. Mechuser Kipurim is someone who already went to the mikveh, already had the sun set on them. They're allowed to eat truma, they're allowed to eat maser, they're allowed to eat chulin, but they cannot come into contact with kodeshim, they cannot enter the mikdash. Yet, it's totally fine for truma. So now, by Mechuser Kipurim, Vishlishi, which is posel b'truma, of course it should cause a problem by kodesh, and should make a revi by kodesh. So that's how we had the Kal Vachomer for Mechuser Kipurim. Mechuser Kipurim is problematic for Kodesh, yet it's fine for Truma. Then Shlishi, which is problematic for Truma, certainly should be problematic for Kodesh and make a revi in Kodesh. Had the same problem again, Dayo, Lavo, Minadin, Liot, Kenidon. Again, we say the same thing. We don't say Dayo over here because it would ruin the Kal Vachomer. That's how we get the basic levels of Tuma. Sheni L'Tuma up into Chulin, which is known from the Torah. Shlishi Truma is known from a Kal Vachomer from Tvul Yom. A Revi in Kodesh is known from a Kal Vachomer in Mechuser the Kipurim. That's Rabbi Yossi. We saw that in the Braita yesterday in the din of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Kiva all of a sudden comes along and undermines all of our process because he says that you can have even a Shlishi in Chulin. If you can have a Shlishi in Chulin, then if you invoke this Kal Vachomer of Tvul Yom, that means you should be able to create a Revi in Truma. And the same thing is true with Mechuser Kipurim. If you already can create a Revi in Truma, then if you go then and say, I want to make the Kal Vachomer Mechuser Kipurim, I'd end up with a fifth level in Kodesh. So now, if Rabbi Akiva holds like Rabbi Yossi about this Kal Vachomer from Tvul Yom, and this Kal V'chomer Mechusar Kippurim, he would end up not only with a third level of Tumah and Chulin, he would end up with a fourth level of Tumah and Truma, and a fifth level in Kodoshim. What the Gemara says is, I've searched all the Mishnayot and Shas, I never found a single opinion that says Revi Truma and Hamishi B'Kodesh. Never found such a thing. If I never found such a thing, it must not exist. Because if there was such a thing, we could say it's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So why doesn't anybody bring Rabbi Akiva's opinion down? It must be that Rabbi Akiva doesn't have that opinion. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have that opinion because he doesn't hold like Rabbi Yossi. So therefore, according to him, it's much simpler. He has a Shlishi in Chulin, and he has a Shlishi in Chuma from the same place. The pasuk that he used before that says Itma, that makes a shlishi in Chulin, also makes a shlishi in Truma. And once you know a shlishi in Truma, because the pasuk doesn't differentiate, it doesn't say it was Truma, it doesn't say it's Chulin. So that means I have a shlishi in Chulin, I have a shlishi in Truma, and they're both on the same level. There'll be no difference between Chulin and Truma. They'll both have a shlishi in Truma. And then a Revi in Kodesh is easy to come by, because then you'll say a basar sheyga b'chol tamei. B'chol tamei, what's b'chol tamei? A shlishi, according to B'kiva, is even tamei. That means a basar kodesh that touches the shlishi becomes a Revi. I don't need the Kal V'chomer of Tuyom. I don't need the Kal V'chomer of Mechusar Kippurim. And for Rabbi Akiva, I can have a Shlishi in Chulin, a Shlishi in Truma, and Revi in Kodesh. That'll be the position of Rabbi Akiva. Without the Kal V'chomer of Mechusar Kippurim, without the Kal V'chomer of Tuyom, he will get to a Shlishi in Truma and a Revi in Kodesh. The Gemara's proof is that we find nowhere in Shas that anybody mentions a Revi in the Truma and a Chamishi in Kodesh. Gemara says, wait a minute, I don't know, Hachi Nikum V'nismach? We're going to rely on that. It's much easier, if someone makes a statement, it's much easier to know that they either have that position or they don't have the position to make a statement. To say that it's never mentioned, to prove that that is their position, that's a much more difficult statement. And even if it's true that it's never found in Shas, doesn't mean that Rabbi Akiva doesn't have that position. You can't definitively prove from that that Rabbi Akiva doesn't have that position. Therefore, Nafak Rav Ashi, Vitim Rav Kahano, Vashi went out, and some say Rav Kahano, Dak Vashkach. He found that Rabbi Akiva explicitly makes a position or takes the position that there's only a third level of Tuma by Truma and a fourth level by Kodesh. And that would mean, by definition, he does not hold like Rabbi Yossi. Again, because he can get to a Shlishi in Truma and a Revi in Kodesh without any of these Kal V'chomers. That means if you add on the Kal V'chomers, you're going to get an additional level in Truma and an additional level in Kodesh, which you don't find. And where's that from? The Hadetnan. I have a Mishnah in Chagiga. Mishnah Chagiga begins, Chomer b'Kodesh mi b'Truma. These are the stringencies in Kodesh over Truma. There's another Mishnah that says Chomer b'Truma b'Kodesh. The Mishnayot there are telling us the difference between Kodesh and Truma. So there it has a list of items that are true by Kodesh and not true by Truma. Here it's the middle of the Mishnah. We're getting a quote from the middle of the Mishnah, which is, Hakli mitzaref et mash b'toko l'Kodesh. A utensil joins together everything inside of it as if it's one by Kodesh. But that's not true of alo b'Truma, not by Truma. So for instance, you have a long trough. You have food at one end of the trough, and you have food at the other end of the trough. If someone comes into contact with the food on one end of the trough, technically the food on the other side of the trough should not be tamei. It's not in contact with it. The food itself cannot be metamei the kli. So the other food on the other side, it's not in contact with, should be totally tahor. Yet, we say in Kodesh, the kli is mitzaref. The trough itself makes them into one entity. That means if you touch the food on one side, the food on the other side is tamei, even though they're not in contact with one another. That's what it means, a kli is mitzarei for Kodesh, but that doesn't work by Truma. By Truma ain't ochanami, that's the din. You touch the food on one side, the food on the other side is completely tahor. The other thing it says there is Revi b'Kodesh pasul, ushlishi b'Truma. The last level of Tuma by Kodesh is a Revi. The last level of Tuma by Truma is Shlishi. That's why he uses the word posel. That's what we described before. When you use the word pasul, pasul means it accepts Tuma, does not convey Tuma. So in Kodesh, the final stage is the fourth level of Tuma. In Truma, the final level is third level of Truma. So far, no evidence that this is Rabbi Akiva. We just have these statements that are in the Mishnah Chagiga. Then, Va'amar Rabbi Chiya Ba'avam Rabbi Yochanan, Me'eduto Shel Rabbi Akiva Nishneit Mishnazu. This Mishnah Chagiga is based on the Edut, the testimony of Rabbi Akiva, and a Mishnah in Ediot. The Mishnah in Ediot says, Ditanan, Hosif Rabbi Akiva. This is an interesting Mishnah in Ediot. It has testimony from three Tanaim that have nothing to do with each other, and the positions that they take have nothing to do with each other. I'll read you the Mishnah. The Mishnah is, Heid Rabbi Yoshua ben Beteira al Dam Nevelot Shuhu Tohor. Heid Rabbi Shimon ben Beteira al Efer Chatat Shnagat Tamei B'Miksato Shitimeyat Kulo. Hosif Rabbi Akiva. This is what we have in our Gemara here. This is the continuation, the end of that Mishnah, which is, alasolet, valaktoret, valivona, vagichalim, all items of kodesh, shnagat vuyom, tvuyom, which is a sheni the tuvah, who touches them, it miksatam, touches a portion of them, pasalit kulam, it ruins all of them. Now the only way it could be, these are all discrete items. All these items that you mentioned here in the list are discrete items. That means if you were talking about the normal rules of conveyance of tumah, that means that tvuyom is a sheni, touches one of these items, makes it a shlishi. That item takes it, touches it, the one next to it, it's a revi. After that, there's no more tumah, because you're at the end of the line. Yet, Rabbi Akiva says the whole item is tameh. Why? Obviously, because the kli is mitzareif them. The kli brings them together to make them a single unit, and therefore the normal rules of tumah don't apply. You don't pass by touching from one to the other. Once you touch one of the discrete items there, it's as if all those items become tameh. So now, what Rabbi Chiya bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, the Mishnah in Chagiga that says that by Kodesh we say Tziruf and not by Truma, where do they know that by Kodesh we have Tziruf? Where do they get that from? The answer is they got it from Rabbi Akiva's testimony in Ediot. Akiva's testimony in Ediot says here, these are items of Kodesh and they all have Tziruf. So that's the source for it. That means, who's the author of that Mishnah in Chagiga? Who's it based on? It's Rabbi Akiva. Now if Rabbi Akiva is the author of that Mishnah in Chagiga, how does that Mishnah in Chagiga continue? It says there, Revi'i in Chamishi lo, Shlishi in Revi'i lo. That's a continuation of that Mishnah in Chagiga. So if Rabbi Akiva is the source for the Mishnah in Chagiga about Tziruf, then the next line in that Mishnah is that Truma has a Shlishi and Kodesh has a Revi'i and no more. So that shows you that Rabbi Akiva does not think there is a Revi'i in Truma and a Chamishi in Kodesh. And now we have definitive proof that Rabbi Akiva's position is that there is no more than a Shlishi in Truma, no more than a Revi'i in Kodesh. And Rabbi Akiva can get there without the Kal V'Chomer of Tvuyom, without the Kal V'Chomer of Mechusa Kippurim that is espoused by Rabbi Yossi. Alma. Now, the Gemara takes another path here. Independent of everything we said here, this has nothing to do with what we said until now. Alma Kasavar Tziruf Midrabanan. And it's clear from the Mishnah and Chagiga that Tziruf is Midrabanan. How do you know that Tziruf is Rabbanan? Rashi claims over here that the Tziruf Midrabanan comes from the fact that the items listed by Rabbi Akiva in Ediot are all items that should not be mekabel tumah. Those items are not ochel. They're not ra'ui l'achila. You picked items that are solid items that have no din of ochel, and therefore they should have no reason to be mekabel tumah. Yet they are mekabel tumah. Why are they mekabel tumah? Why, she says, because of chibat ha-kodesh. The love of kodesh makes it that they accept tumah even though they're not ra'ui l'achila. Rashi says that's an institution derabanan. Chibat kodesh is an institution derabanan, and therefore, since the premise of the Mishnah Chagiga is Rabbi Akiva's testimony in Ediot, that testimony in Ediot is about Tumah Derabanan. And so Rabbi Akiva must be talking about Tziruf Midrabanan. That's the Gemara's conclusion over here, based on what Rashi says. Tosafot disagrees. Tosafot says, Rashi, I'm sorry, but Chibat HaKodesh is a Din Doraita. We're going to get to it in Perek Kol Sha'ah, later on the Gemara in Pesachim. That Chibat HaKodesh allows items to become Tameh Min HaTorah. And therefore, I disagree with you. That can't be the proof that this is Midrabanan. So where is the proof Midrabanan? Tosafot suggests it's based in that Mishnah in Ediot. The Mishnah in Ediot, it has three testimonies there that almost have nothing to do with each other. The middle testimony comes from Shimon ben Beteira. Hayid Rabbi Shimon ben Beteira, Efer Chatat, the ashes of a Chatat, that talking about there, the Paraduma, Shinogad, Tamei b'miksatov, Tamei touches a portion of them, Shitimeit kulo. He's metame all of them. Now, those ashes, as far as we are concerned, are completely chulin. Those ashes have no din of kodesh in them. They're completely chulin. Yet, you have the tame that touches a part of them, and it makes them all tame. So you can't invoke chibata kodesh. So it's clear that Rabbi Shimon Beteira's tumah that he's talking about there is a tumah derabanan. And since Rabbi Shimon Beteira is talking about tumah derabanan, Rabbi Akiva follows him and says, Hosif, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva added on to that statement, Rabbi Shimon Beteira is obviously talking about tumah derabanan. So therefore, Rabbi Akiva is saying that Tziruf works midrabanan. Nothing to do with the items that he's being mitzareif. Rashi says it's the items that he's being mitzareif are tuma derabanan, so they're obviously Tziruf is derabanan. Tosafot says the items that he's mitzareif could be doraita, but the concept of Tziruf is a concept derabanan by Kodesh, and he knows that because Rabbi Shimon ben Beteira, who comes right before Rabbi Akiva, and then Rabbi Akiva says Hosif, Rabbi Akiva, he adds on to that, is coming from something that's derabanan, and Rabbi Akiva's Hosif is also only a din derabanan. And that's how we know that Tziruf is only a din dirabanan. Now we have someone who argues on that. Pligid Rabbi Chanin. This argues on Rabbi Chanin. Da'amar Tziruf do'oraita. He thinks that Tziruf is min ha-Torah. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Parshat Naso, Kaf achat asara zahav mleak toret. You have one spoonful that can hold asara zahav mleak toret, filled with toret. Hakatuv asa kol mash bekaf achat. That the Torah makes anything that's found in the spoon, achat. So not kaf achat, one spoon, but rather kaf, anything in the spoon is achat, is one unit, or considered to be one entity. Therefore, Rabbi Chanin says from that, you see that there's a tziruf midoraita. Just happens to be interesting, according to Rashi, who thinks that toret is not an item that can be mekabel tumah in a Torah. The fact that Rabbi Chanin brings his proof from kaf achat mleak toret is very interesting, because he has a kaf achat that is mitzaref, an item that Rashi thinks can't have a tziruf midoraita. So that probably supports Tosafot's position over here. Okay, now, Rashi says something interesting over here. There's a very long Rashi over here, and discusses this interesting point of how we get to a Revi in Kodesh. How do you get to a Revi in Kodesh? He says the only person who can get to a Revi in Kodesh is someone who thinks that Mashkim are mitamei midoraita, meaning that they accept Tumah and convey Tumah mina Torah. That's the only way to get to a Revi b'Kodesh, otherwise you can't get to a Revi b'Kodesh. You know who has that position? That's Rabbi Akiva's position, and possibly Rabbi Yossi's position. Possibly Rabbi Yossi's position in Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Yossi by himself, but Rabbi Yossi in Rabbi Akiva. They say that Mashkim convey Tumah mina Torah. Right? You want to know how you get to Revi b'Kodesh? Very easy now. I have a Sheretz. Sheretz is an Ava Tumah. Sheretz touches a Kli. Kli is a Rishon the Tumah. Kli touches Ochel. Kli is a Rishon the Tumah. The Kli touches Ochel, becomes a Sheni Tumah. That Ochel touches a liquid. That liquid is now a Shlishi the Tumah. Then the liquid, the Shlishi Tumah, conveys that Tumah to Revi in Kodesh to Ochel. So it'll be Sheretz to Kli, Kli to Ochel, Ochel to Mashkeh, Mashkeh to Ochel. That's how you get to Revi in Tumah. That works only according to the one who says that Mashkeh can convey Tumah. According to the one who says Mashkeh cannot convey Tumah midoraita, how do you ever get to Revi b'Kodesh? So what do you guys say? What's the big deal? I'll do it like this. You have a Sheretz that touches a Kli, Rishon the Tumah. Kli touches an Ochel. Now you have a Sheni the Tumah. Ochel touches another Ochel. Shlishi the Tumah. Ochel touches Mashkeh. You have a Revi the Tumah. Mashkeh can accept Tumah, can't convey Tumah. I have no problem. What was the problem with what I just explained? I, in that sequence, had Ochel being Metame Ochel. And we already know that the limit before was Ein Ochel Metame Ochel. That Ochel is not Metame Ochel. You can't have Tumah Kiyotze Bo. You can't have Tumah that's conveyed to something that is similar to it. Therefore, Rashi says, those people who don't think that Mashkeh can convey Tumah Doraita cannot end up with a Tumah Deoraita in Revi'i B'Kodesh. The only way they can end up with it is, Rashi says, if they believe Ochel is Metame Ochel. And we had positions like that at the beginning of this sugya of Rav Chanina Skana Kohanim. We had three positions over there with regards to what's the din of Ein Ochel Metame Ochel. Two of those positions believed in Kodesh, Ochel is Metame Ochel. Their last position, Ravina Maravva, which was that it didn't apply by Kodesh, then you cannot get to Revi b'Kodesh. Only if you hold by the other two positions can you possibly get to a Revi b'Kodesh, which is Ochel Metame Ochel. So Rashi says the only two possibilities of getting to Revi'i in Kodesh Min HaTorah is either you think that liquid can convey Tumah Midoraita, one possibility, or the other possibility is you believe Ochel is Metame Ochel Min HaTorah by Kodashim. That's the only two ways you can get to a Revi'i b'Kodesh. And therefore, he says, all these other people, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yossi, all these people who don't think that liquids convey Tumah Deoraita, they must either hold Ochel is Metame Ochel Midoraita, or they must believe that Revi b'Kodesh is only a din derabanan. That's Rashi's conclusion. Tosafot disagrees and says, I don't think you're right, Rashi. I can get to Revi b'Kodesh without a liquid being there. You know what I'll use in between? I'll use Lavona, Kitoret, Gichalim, all those items that are just mentioned over here. He says, look, you'll have a Kli came to me from a Sheretz. Sheretz is Ava Tumah. Kli is a Rishon the Tumah. Then you have Ochel. Ochel becomes Tamei. That's a Sheni the Tumah. Ochel will touch Ketoret. That'll make a Shlishi. Ketoret will touch the Mashkeh. No problem. We don't have Ochel being Metame Ochel. We don't have a Mashkeh being Metame Mashkeh. Mashkeh is not being Metame. I get the Revi b'Kodesh. Rashi can't do that. Why can't Rashi do that? That's the Machloki we just said. Machloki between Rashi and Tosafot is what is the din of Chibat Kodesh by Toret Levona Gichalim. Rashi says it's all din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraita. Tosafot disagreed and said that's a din d'oraita. So Rashi's l'shitato and Tosafot's l'shitato. Rashi l'shitato says that Ketoret Levona Gichalim is all a Tumah d'rabbanan. Then he can't get to Tumah d'oraita and reveal the Kodesh with the Ketoret and Levona. The only way he can get there is either Mashkim Kavei Tumah d'oraita or Ochel's Metame Ochel Midoraita. Tosafot, who says that Ketoret Levona Gichalim Chibata Kodesh makes these items, even though they're not Rayu L'Achila, makes them Tamei Min HaTorah, He has something he can stick in the middle to get an extra level of Tuma without it being Kiyotzebo. And therefore, Tosafot, who thinks those two, that Tuma is Doraita, can get to reveal the Kodesh Doraita without Mashkeh, conveying Tuma Doraita, and without Ochel being Metame Ochel. And that is the Machloket here between Rashi and Tosafot. It appears twice. It appears once in the issue of how do we know that Rabbi Akiva believes it's Derabanan because of Cheder Kodesh, and then because of that, Rashi and Tosafot have differing opinions how you get to Revi B'Kodesh. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Tanhatam. We have a Mishnah over there. This is another Mishnah in Ediot. And the Mishnah says there, Ala machat shenimtzeit bebasar. You find a needle in the flesh of an animal that was shechted. Shehatsakin v'yadayim torot. The knife that was used to cut it and the hands are tehorim. Bebasar tamei. But the flesh is tamei. Nimtzeit beperish. If you find it in the excrement, the needle, akol tohor. Everything is tohor in that case. So Amar Rabbi Akiva, zechinu. From this Mishnah, we learn, she'ain tumat yadayim b'migdash. There is no such thing as tumat yadayim in the Migdash. So now, tumat yadayim is the fact that the hands of an individual become tamei without the body of the individual. As far as the Torah is concerned, there's only one type of tuma, and that's the tuma that affects your entire body. No part of your body can become tamei independently. If your hands are tamei, your whole body's tamei. If your body's tamei, your hands are tamei. The Chachamim instituted that yadayim, your hands, can become a sheni l'tuma. That stam yadayim are a sheni l'tuma. That's because yadayim are askaniotem. They touch things, you don't concentrate on it. So we make you wash your hands to remember that. We make put your hands in the mikveh for kodesh in order to be metayer of them, so the person thinks about where his hands have been and maybe he'll remember that he touched tuma. But that is an institution, drabanan, that you have tuma yadayim. So now Rabbi Akiva says, from the Mishnah Ediot, I can conclude. And that is, and you can look at the Rashi on the top of the Amud Bet here, Zuchut v'tova v'revach v'takana hi lanu. This dispensation of the Chachamim, that there's no Tumat Yudayim in the Mikdash, is a terrific saving thing. Mehefseid Kodoshim. That saves us from making Kodoshim problematic. Shalom yigzirak zirat yadayim Mikdash, l'tamei devar shenu metamei adam. So that in the Mikdash, there's no such Tuma that can be conveyed unless it's metamei the whole body of the individual. Because, tahai machat mukmei lei dela bar tumuye adamu. We're going to see in a second that this machat obviously can't be metamei adam, otherwise the person would be tamei. So the ilu chutz the mikdash metamim yadayim mituma koldu afilu stama mishum yadayim askaniot. Outside the mikdash, your hands would be metamei shneim letuma and would make the basar problematic off the bat. You come into contact with the machat, makes your yadayim asheni letuma, and boom, you ruined the basar, you ruined everything. So the fact that we see over here that this machat only impacts the basar, and it's not the yadayim that impact it, and the yadayim are tohorot, and the sakim are tohorot, shows you that there is no gzerah tuma of yadayim in the mikdash. That is what Rabbi Akiva says. The Gemara says about that, v'neima she'in tumat yadayim v'kelim b'mikdash. Why did Rabbi Akiva suffice to say that there is no gzerah of tumat yadayim in the mikdash? Should also mention that there's also no tumat kelim in the mikdash. Tumat kelim is the gzerah that we've seen now, that liquids, any liquid that is tamei, is metamei a keli to be owed a rishon l'tuma. And that's because of a chashash that we have certain liquids that are an avatuma. Rare, but certain liquids that are avatuma. Those are the liquids that emanate from azav, azavan, and ida. Chamim, therefore, were gozer on all liquids that are tamei, that they are mitamei kelim. Even though technically min haTorah, that's not the case. But nevertheless, because of this chashash of the liquids of azav, zava that are avatuma, made all liquids as if they were avatuma, and they convey that tuma as a rishon tuma to kelim. So, what we say over here is, the fact that the sakin is tahor, and the fact that the yadayim are tohorot show you both of those things. They show you, number one, there's no takanat kelim in the gzerat kelim in the mikdash, and there's no gzerat yadayim in the mikdash. So why did Rabbi Akiva only conclude that there's no gzerat yadayim? How come he didn't conclude about gzerat kelim? So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Yitem Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, yadayim kodim gzerat kelim nishnu. He says it's a difference in timing. The gzera of yadayim happened before the gzera of kelim. Gzerav Yadayim comes from the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Gzerav Kelim is from the Yud Chet Davar that we found in the Aliyat Chananyo in the first parak of Shabbat. And therefore, it's a much later institution. So since it's a later institution, Rabbi Akiva was commenting on the Yadayim because that was already a Gzerah that was in place. The Gzerah of Kelim was not in place yet, so he wasn't commenting on that. When it says, Amarova v'hatar v'ayobu b'yom gazru. Wait a minute. First of all, both of these instituted on the same day. It's not. We have a Mishnah, which is a Sefer, Hayadayim, Vatvu Yom, Va'ochlim, Va'kelim, Shnitmu, B'mashkim. All of these items that are Tamei from the Yud Chet Tavar. These are the 18 things that were said in the Aliyat, Hananyo, Ben Hizkiya in the first parak in Shabbat. These are the Yudchet that were gozer, certain types of Tumah, they're Rabbanan. And those are Hasefer, Sifrei Kodesh, where they made them be Tamei, Asheni L'Tumah. Sifrei Kodesh, why are they Tamei? They have nothing to do with Tumah. Problem was that people were storing their Sifrei Kodesh together with their Trumah. Trumah's Kodesh, Sefer's Kodesh. Let me store them together. What was happening was that there were little rodents, little animals coming to eat the food. They were also eating the Sifrei Kodesh. So in order to protect the Sifrei Kodesh, Chachamim were gozer on the Sefarim that they had a Sheni L'Tumah, so they would ruin Trumah. And people would no longer store Sefarim together with the Trumah. Hayadayim. They made Yadayim because they're Askoniotayim. They made Stam Yadayim, Sheni L'Tumah. It's a question because that Gzera is really from Shlomo HaMelech. So what exactly the Gzera here is, it seems like the Gzera here is not just about Stam Yadayim, but the fact that any Tumah that contacts your hands makes them a Sheni L'Tumah, even though it doesn't have impact on your body. So that's likely what Gzera is over here. Hatvuyom. Hatvuyom is a Sheni L'Tumah midoraita. The Gemara in Shabbat says, Samim mikan Tvuyom. Drop Tvuyom from the list over here, because that's a din doraita, not a din de rabbanan. Ha'ochlim ve'akelim. Ochel and kelim that came into contact with mashkim, they are tmeim. Now, kelim should not be tmei when they come into contact with mashkim, because a keli can only become tmei from something that's an avatuma. So mashkim can be tmei a keli if they're an avatuma. That's a very rare occurrence that they're an avatuma. That only happens when they emanate from a zav, zavan, yoledet, or nida, but not in general. So if that's the case, then why are the mashkim a tmei kelim? That's the gzerat chachamim. But you see from this mishnah that bo bayom, both yadayim, and the fact that Mashkim or Metamei Kelim took place on the same day. And guess what? The Yudchet Davar were also before Rabbi Akiva. So they both preceded Rabbi Akiva. So if that's the case, then why did Rabbi Akiva suffice by saying that there was no Gzerat Yadayim? He should also mention that there's no Gzerat Kelim in the Mikdash. Elo Amar Rava. Hinach the Tumat Sukim. Leave alone the Tumat Sukim over here. Tafilu B'chulim Nami Lo Mitamei. Forget about it in the Mikdash. The Sukim wouldn't be Tamei even if it was outside the Mikdash. Why is that? Hai Sukim de Nagabamai. What did the knife touch that it's tamei? Ilem de nagaba basar. If it touched the flesh of the animal, it was cutting the animal. Hayin ochel metamei kli. Ochel, the highest level ochel can reach is a rishon l'tumah. A kli can only become tamei from a avatumah. So by definition, the basar cannot be metamei the knife. So that's not where the tumah to the knife could come from, even outside the mikdash. So ella de nagaba machat. So what's the possibility here? It touched the needle itself. Okay. Ha ain't kli metame kli. We just saw this before in the Gemara. Kli cannot be metame kli. The kli only accepts tuma from an ava tuma. It cannot accept from a rishon tuma. So the first kli, when it touches the next kli, then it's not going to be metame it. Now that's not so straightforward, because maybe the keli itself is an ava tuma. Over here, you can't say what you said before, and that the Gemara is going to address in a second. I'm going to leave it out. I'm just noting the problem. We're assuming here is a sheretz, which is an ava tuma, touched the kli. The kli is a rishon tuma, so it can't make another kli into a rishon l'tumah. That's only true if the first kli was touched by an avatumah, it was a rishon l'tumah. But if the first kli was an avatumah, it could make another kli tamei. So this statement of ain tamei mitamei kli is not so simple. So now Gemara says, Hai machat mayavite. So what's going on with this machat? The Gemara is now taking a step back and saying, what is the case here entirely? This needle that they found in the basar, where did it come from? What's its story? So ine masafek machat. It's a question about a machat. Question of machat doesn't mean it's a question if there's a needle there or not. The question is, was the needle tamei or not? You find a needle in the basar, you want to know. I don't know if it was tamei. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. That certainly cannot be the case. Because, ha'itma rabbelazi rabbiosi rabbi chanina, chadamai lo gazrua safek arokim b'Yerushalayim. One of them said that any spit liquid that is found in Yerushalayim from spit is not tamei. The possibility of spit is that it was came from a zav. There's a possibility that the spit came from someone who's tahor. So in Yerushalayim, we assume that the safek is tahor. Considered to be tahor, we don't worry about that spit. We assume that it is tahor. V'chad amar lo gazru al safek kelim b'shulayim. And the other one says that we're not gozer about safek tumat kelim b'shulayim. If you find a kelim and you're not sure if it's tamei or tahor, you can assume it's tahor in Yerushalayim. There's no gzera al safek kelim. So if that's the case, if the problem here is that you found a needle in the basar, you're not sure if it's tamei or tahor, this is what we have. We already have. It says no such thing as safek kelim b'shulayim. If we would assume it's tahor, and there wouldn't be any problem here at all. So the case cannot be a case where you have a machat, a needle here, and you have a safek whether it's tamei or not tamei, because we would know the answer to that question. The answer to that question is tahor. Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav. So we have two answers about the possibility. I'm going to read them, and then the Gemara is going to dissect them in a second. Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, kagon she'avdalo machat tamei meit. Case where he lost a needle that was tamei meit. Ve'ikira b'basar. And then all of a sudden he finds it, and it's in the flesh of this animal. So now he has a needle that's a tamei meit inside this animal. And that's what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a needle that is tamei mei. That's going to cause us a problem because then the person should be tamei. Forget about the sakim. Forget about anything else. That the Gemara is going to deal with. Talking about an animal, a cow that was muzzled. And therefore, if it was muzzled, an animal was brought into Yerushalayim from outside of Yerushalayim. That means the safek, the doubt, already arose before you got to Yerushalayim, because it was muzzled in Yerushalayim, and it came from outside of Yerushalayim. So how did this needle get here? The needle got there because he ate it outside of Yerushalayim. Our principle is a safek keli in Yerushalayim is tahor. Safek outside of Yerushalayim, we don't have that principle anymore. And then there's a possibility that this is tamei, that this needle here is tamei. So that's the Gemara until now. Now the Gemara is going to dissect all of this, what we just read. Kufa. There's no gzeira on rope spit that is found in Yerushalayim. We assume that it's tahor. You find a keli in Yerushalayim, you can assume that it's tahor. Rokim tanina, kelim tanina. Why are they adding anything for us? Why are these amoraim adding for us? They are both principles that are found in Mishnayot. Rokim tanina. We have this in a Mishnah. Tetznan, kol rokim hanimtzaim biYerushalayim. Any spit found in Yerushalayim, tahorim, is tahor. Here you have an explicit Mishnah saying this in Shkalim. What do you need one of these amoraim to tell you that din? Chutz mishul shuk elyon. The only exception to that rule is the upper marketplace. Because in the upper marketplace, that's where the Zav and Zavim and all the people were Tamei hung out. Because they didn't want to get anybody else Tamei. So therefore, they had that location that everybody knew. That's where the Tameim went. So up there, the spit, you worry about it. But anywhere else in Yerushalayim, it's Tahor. So what do I need an Amora to tell me what's found in a Mishnah? Where it says, lo, Tzricha. Afa gavdi tchazek Zav. That even though you saw a Zav pass by here, even though you saw a Zav walk by here, and now you see spit there, it's still a safek. We don't know if he spit it or someone else spit it. Nevertheless, even though we have now a chazokah that a Zav passed by here, nevertheless we say it's tahor. So the Mishnah tells us simply that if you find spit, it's tahor. The Amora comes and teaches us that even if you saw a Zav pass by there, so now the safek is a real safek about whether there was a Zav spit or someone else. Nevertheless, it remains tahor, and that's the chiddush of the Amora. Kelim tanina. The fact that Safek Kelim and Yerushalayim are Tehorim, that's also an explicit Mishnah. It's not. We have a Mishnah there in Shkalim. Kolei Kelim and Nimtzeim B'Yerushalayim. All utensils are found in Yerushalayim. Derech Yirida LeBeit HaTefilah. If they are found on their way down to the Mikveh, Tameim. They are Tamei. Had the Alma Tehorim. Then in general, they are Tehorim. What the Gemara here skipped is the end of that Mishnah. The Mishnah is Derech Yirida LeBeit HaTefilah Tameim. Derech Aliyah, on the way up, Tehorim. They are Tehorim. If you go to Yerushalayim today, you go to the southern excavations. You can see a mikveh that looks exactly like this. There is a line down the middle of the stairs. There's a plaster line that goes down the middle of the stairs. Anybody who was Tamei who was entering the mikveh went down on the right side of the stairs. Anybody who was coming out of the mikveh went up on the right side of the stairs on the way up. There's a separating line between the staircase on the right side and the left side. On the upside, at the top of the stairs, there's a bucket there also for Netilat Yadayim that was put there. So you knew that they would descend it on the right side and descend it on the right side. Therefore, what does it mean, derech yirida? If you find a keli, derech yirida means if you found a keli sitting on the stairs going down to the mikveh. Well, how do you know it's derech yirida? Because there was only one way down to the mikveh. You have to be on the right side of that line when you're going down to the mikveh when you were tamei. When you're coming up, you came on the other side of that line. So if you find a keli that's left there on the stairs or fell on the stairs, you know it's tamei. Because what's the reason it's there? The only reason it's there is because it fell from somebody taking it down to the mikveh. It's obviously tamei. If you find a keli on the other side of the stairs, then it's obviously tahor. Because that's someone who's ascending from the mikveh. They already put the thing in the mikveh. And now it's tahor. So that is the Mishnah in Shkalim. The Gemara wants to be dayek from that Mishnah. The derech yudel abet tefilat tameim. That if you find it on the way down the stairs to the mikveh, then it's tamei. Haba alma. That means in general, tahorim. That they are tahor. So Gemara says, v'li tameich. According to your reasoning, what about the next line in the Mishnah? Ema seifa. Derech aliyah tahorim. On the way up, it's tahor. Haba alma tameim. That means that if it wasn't on the way up, then it's normally tamei. There's no diuk out of this Mishnah. How can you make a diuk? You look at each half of the Mishnah, it's medayik the other way. El reisha davka v'seif el abdako. That's exactly what the Amora is coming to teach you. How to read this Mishnah. The reisha is davka. Derech yirida is tamei, but that means anywhere else it's tahor. On the other hand, on the way up it's tahor, that does not come to exclude anywhere else. Everywhere else it's also tahor. So then what is on the way up saying that it's tahor come to exclude? Lafuke gezaito. Comes to exclude narrow alleyways. Because those alleyways which serve as an entrance to the mikveh, they're both the entrance and the exit to the mikveh. So if you find a keli that's fallen on the floor in that alleyway, at that point you have a problem. Because then it could be dropped by someone who's going down, could be dropped by someone who's going up. Problem there is we know that the keli is tamei. It's for sure tamei. Because the only question here is, did it go to the mikveh or not go to the mikveh? Because the only reason someone's in this alleyway was either because they were going to the mikveh or they were coming up from the mikveh. So the keli was for sure tamei. The only question we have now is, did the guy get it into the mikveh or he didn't get into the mikveh before it fell? So now, once I have a cheskat tuman, the keli, then I can't say that it's tahor based on the safek. On the other hand, if I find a stam keli in Yerushalayim, who knows that it's a tamei? Then it's a safek with tamei, not tamei, then it's tahor. So that's the difference. There are two places that the kelim are tameim. One is on the stairs down to the mikveh, because there it's clearly tamei, because only somebody going down to the mikveh with something tamei would be there, and that's why it's tamei. On those narrow alleyways to the mikveh, if you find a keli there, it's also tamei, because we don't know it was dropped by someone coming out of the mikveh or someone going into the mikveh. And because it has a cheskat tumah, because that's the only reason the keli would be there, that means that it remains tameh. So those are the two times that are clear tameim. The rest of Yerushalayim, anywhere else, safei kelim, are tehorim. So all the Amora comes to teach us is how to learn this Mishnah. How to learn this Mishnah is to tell us that derech yirida is dafka, where it's tameh. Anywhere else in Yerushalayim, safei kelim are tehorim. Now, ularav damar. So now we dealt with those two positions from before. Now we go back to Rav. Rav before who said, what's the nature of this needle that's found there? It says, Gonj Abdul Machat Tamemet. He lost a machat that came into contact with the Tamemet. Vehikira Babasar, and they know this is it in the meat flesh now. He said, ah, that's that needle. Kavendamar, since we already learned, we just did this back on Daf Yudamibet, Bechalal Cherev. We said that the din of Chalal Cherev applies both to Avia Vototuma and the Avatuma. That means metal that comes in contact with an avi avot tuma comes into contact with the corpse, remains an avi avot tuma. And metal keli that comes into contact with an avat tuma, someone who came into contact with the corpse, remains an avat tuma. It does not descend the level of tuma. So if this needle came into contact with an avat tuma, whether it's a person that came into contact with a mate or a keli that came into contact with a mate, it remains an avat tuma because of this principle of halal cherev, that the cherev, a metallic li, is the same din as the corpse. So cherev, how are you halal? Because of that principle. So adam v'kelim nami li tameh. If this needle is an avat tumah, then not only can it be metameh the basar, it can metameh the adam. Forget about his hands. The whole body. The person can become tameh completely. The keli that it touches, the sakin that's there should be tameh. How come the Mishnah said that the sakin is tahor and his hands are tahor? Forget about hands. Forget about sakin. Everything's tameh. This is an avat tumah. An avat tumah can be metameh everything. That's correct. It itself is an avatumah. Now it can make something else a rishon l'tumah. A rishon l'tumah. An avatumah can make a rishon l'tumah in adam and kelim. That still applies. A kelim and an adam can come tamei from an avatumah. They cannot become tamei from a rishon l'tumah, but from an avatumah they can. So if this machat is an avatumah now, because of chalal cherev, it can convey tumah to adam v'kelim. So amar avashi, zot omeret, from this you must conclude that it's azarah rishut rabim. The azarah itself is considered to be a public domain. V'havalei safek tumah birshut ha-rabim. And now we have a Safek Tumah Bishut Rabim. Because Safek Tumah Bishut Rabim, Sfeko Tahor. Anytime you have a doubt about Tumah in Rishut Rabim, it's Tahor. This comes from a din in Sota. We're going to get to more details of this in a second. But we learn out all Sfekot from Sota. Sota is a case of Safek. We don't know if the woman was defiled or not defiled. Did she have an extramarital affair? Did she not have an extramarital affair? In that case, we learn all the dinim of Sfekot in the Torah. The Torah there assumes that she is Tameh. And therefore we test her, or therefore we go through the process of testing her to see if she is Tameh. Now, what is the instance of a Sota? The instance of a Sota is in a Rishut Yachid. She secluded herself with this other individual. So where do we say Sveko Tameh? That's in a case of seclusion in Rishut Yachid. But in a public domain, then there would be no Sota, and there would be no Safek Tumah. So since Safek Tumah is learned from a Sota, when you have a Safek Rishut Rabim, it's Tahor. So that's what the Gemara invokes over here, that it must be talking about a case of Safek Tumah Bishut Rabim. So what happened here? I have a machat that's an avatumah. As far as touching the flesh of the animal, it definitely touched the flesh of the animal because it's in the flesh of the animal. So it makes the animal's flesh, basar, tameh. The questions now are, did the person touch it? When he was working with the animal, did he come into contact with the machat? We don't know. The knife that he was cutting the meat with, did it come into contact with the machat? We don't know. So the knife and the person are a safek. That is a Safek Tumah Bishut Rabim. Tahor. But as the basar, which came into contact with Avatuma, that for sure is Tameh. And that's how we'll explain the Mishnah. Now the Gemara says, okay, based on your position now, that V'chol Tumah Savek Tumah Rishut Abim is Savek Kotor, Har Rishut Yachid, you would conclude that if this case took place in Rishut Yachid, Sveko Tamehu, then it would be Tameh. Is that really true? Michte. So Rashi eliminates the Girsa of Hai Machat over here because it's a little bit misleading. So we'll leave it out, but I'll explain it in a second. Michte, Davar Shem Bo Da'at Lisha Elhu. It's something that you cannot inquire about whether the Tumah came there or not. Anything you can't ask about Tumah, Ben Bishut Rabim, Ben Bishut Yachid, Sveko Tahor, is Tahor, whether it's Rishut Rabim or Rishut Yachid. That is not also based on Sota. In Sota, the question we have is about a woman. A woman, did she have an extramarital affair or not? The woman herself has the knowledge. She has the answer to that question. She is someone you could ask, and she could give you the honest answer. She may not want to give you the honest answer, but she has the information and can give you the honest answer. Therefore, Chazal say anytime you deal with Safek Tumah, Safek Tumah only applies to objects that have Dat Lishael, someone you can ask about it. So therefore here, by the Adam, by the person or the individual who's coming into contact possibly with this Machat, that's someone who has Dat Lishael. You can ask the person, did you touch it or you not touch it? He may not know, so that's a Safek. And that Safek will say, if it's B'shut Rabim Tahor, B'shut Yachid, it's Tameh. On the other hand, if you're talking about an inanimate object, like a knife, over here, the knife might have come into contact with the needle, might not have come into contact with the needle. Can you ask the knife? Talk to the knife. It's not going to tell you. No matter what, you can talk to it from now to the end of the world. It's not going to tell you that information. So that's She'ein Dato Lishael. Ein Dato Lishael is not like the Sota. Since it's not like the Sota, it's always Tahor. It doesn't matter if it's Reshut Rabim. It doesn't matter if it's Reshut Yachid. It's always Tahor. So why are you bringing in this whole thing about Reshut Rabim? It'd be Tahor even without Reshut Rabim. It's Tahor because there's nobody to ask over here. You're talking about an inanimate object. Man says, no, that's not exactly the case here. Mishum Tahave Savik Tumah Haba Bidei Adam. The Sakin wasn't moving by itself. There was a person who was working with this Sakin. And so therefore, even though we were talking about an inanimate object, the Safek is about the knife, whether it came to contact with the Machat or not, the knife is being driven by a human being. It's being moved by a human being. And since the human being is driving the movement of the knife, it's the equivalent of being someone who's Dato Lishael. And so because of that, we need the Sfeiko Birshut Rabim to be Tahor versus Birshut Yachid, and that's the conclusion that the Azara is a Reshut Rabim. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Safek Tumah Ba Bidei Adam, Nishalim Aleha. Safek Tumah that comes through a human pause, Nishalim Aleha. You ask about it. Now Rashi brings two interpretations of what it means, Nishalim Aleha. Number one is, Klomar Chashvinan Leh Tamei Otak Ilu Yesh Ba Dat Lishael. One is that we treat it like as if it is an object that is a human being or can be asked. Or, Lashon Acher is Nishalim the Beit Din Matei Alav. That we ask the Beit Din what the din of this object is, V'zehu Ikar. That he says is the right way to read it. That the Balim have to go now ask a Shaila about this in Beit Din. So this is Safek Tumah Ba Bidei Adam. A person driving the inanimate object that's causing the Safek to happen has this din where we have to look into it. We have to check into the item. Afilu Bikli Munach Agabei Karka. Even if you have an inanimate object on the ground, B'davar She'esh Bo Dat Lishael. You have a person walking around carrying a sheret. He has a sheret on him. He's definitely Tameh here. He might have touched the knife on the ground, might not have touched the knife on the ground. As far as looking at the knife in isolation, the knife is, ain't that Dato Lishael? You don't ask a question. It's an inanimate object. You can't ask the question. It should be Tahor. Nevertheless, since the Safek arose from a human interaction and human intervention, in that case, it's considered to be Dato Lishael. And that's the position of Rabbi Yochanan. And that's what gets us to the conclusion that we have over here, which is that this is a case of Dato Lishael. Where's a case of Ain't Dato Lishael? You have a knife that's laying in the road, and then we find a dead sheret there on the road. And we're uncertain as to whether this dead sheret touched the knife or didn't touch the knife. That's Ain't Dato Lishael. You can't ask the sheret, you can't ask the knife. Those are both objects, so you're not going to get an answer from. So that's a case of Ain't Dato Lishael, and therefore Sveiko Tahor, no matter if it's Reshut Yachid or Reshut Rabim. The case where human intervention is involved, whether it's the human that has the Tumah, it's a question if they touched it or not, or whether it's the human driving the object, and it's a question if that object touched the Tumah or not, in that case it's considered to be Dato Lishael, because of the human intervention, or the human being the driving force, and therefore it now falls to the normal principles of Safek Tumah B'Shut Rabim and Safek Tumah B'Shut Yachid. Safek Tumah B'Shut Rabim is Tahor, Safek Tumah B'Shut Yachid is Tameh. That's why Rashi leaves out the gears of Hai Machat. Hai Machat is misleading. Ain't Dato Lishael here is not about the Machat. The Machat's the item that's Tameh here. The inanimate object over here is the knife, possibly came into the topic. So Hai Machat is misleading. It's not the Machat that's the inanimate object we can't ask, but rather the knife. So Rashi says, if you leave the Girsa in, you say, in the case of Machat. It doesn't mean Hai Machat this needle, but in the case of Machat, then it's Ain't Dato Lishael for the knife. And that's why Rashi takes out the Girsa of Hai Machat, because it's misleading in that way. You could read it with it in, but you just have to read it correctly so you don't get misled by that term of Hai Machat. Okay, we'll stop over here.